Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, August 28th. Two teenagers accused in armed robbery. A 17-year-old was arrested Saturday night on suspicion of aggravated robbery, and a warrant has been issued for a second. According to Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths, deputies received an aggravated robbery call from Lowe's Marketplace on West University Boulevard around 7:30 p.m. When deputies arrived, they were told two people robbed someone of their purse in the parking lot, and when a witness tried to intervene, the suspects displayed handguns, Griffiths said via text. A Texas Department of Public Safety trooper found the suspect's vehicle about 10 minutes later with two juvenile witnesses and one of the suspects inside. The one suspect was arrested, and a warrant has been issued for the second, Griffiths said. Their names will be released once the second teenager, who is also 17, is arrested. No injuries were reported during the incident. The investigation is ongoing. Never forget UTPB to host Shine a Light Sunrise Service. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. To honor those most impacted by the mass shooting 4 years ago, University of Texas Permian Basin is hosting the Shine a Light Sunrise Service at 7 a.m. Thursday. August 31st is the date of the shooting, in which 7 people were killed and 25 injured. The shooter, Seth Ator, was traveling between Midland and Odessa during the mass shooting. He was shot and killed by multiple law enforcement agencies as they made a final stand in a field near Synergy Theater. The Bright Stars Memorial will be a place for the Permian Basin community to gather and reflect while enhancing the university's campus transformation efforts, which coincide with UTPB's 50th anniversary, the UTPB website details. The memorial will be 11 feet high and 5 feet in diameter, Executive Director of Odessa Arts, Randy Hamm, has said. The memorial will feature the names of all those who were killed or injured and reflections from family members. The Bright Stars Memorial, created by Maryland sculptor Jim Sanborn, will be on a plaza that will have stone, landscaping, and a way to get to from the trail. The art piece will be lit at night. The art piece has already been delivered to Odessa. Eventually, the trail will be redone, and the memorial will be in conjunction with the walking path. They will have to temporarily block off the walking path for safety during construction. There will be a water feature and trees around it. Quote, "It's not a small project. Making sure that we have all those pieces in place will be important," UTPB President Sandra Woodley said. She added that they are in the middle of fundraising for the plaza. Quote, "The plaza itself and the artwork, all of it, will cost between $5 and $6 million. We do have some funding set aside already that is set aside to start the construction. We'll be working with the community. We know that there are many who have expressed interest to donate for this beautiful plaza. We will be finishing up the fundraising campaign over the next year or so, but construction will get started this year," Woodley said. Plans are to announce a contractor soon. 10 Eck Landscape Architects and Parkhill are the designers and will be managing the project for whoever is chosen as the contractor, Woodley said. Odessa Fire Rescue Chief Jason Cotton, who assisted several of the victims on the day of the shootings, will speak, as will Kelby Davis, a pastor at the bridge and the mother of the youngest victim, Hubbard, said. Donnie Williams, lead pastor of the Bridge, will speak as well. Hubbard said they believe landscape architect Christine Ten Eck will join Odessa Arts Executive Director Randy Hamm to talk about the art piece, and there will be a special music performance. Musician Eric Baker, UTPB Director of Community Engagement in Music and Visual Arts, is helping put music together for the event. Quote, "So it will be a really special moment," Hubbard said. Woodley said the university is happy to welcome the community to campus. Quote, "The art is beautiful. We know it's taken a while to get the memorial completed, and it's still not complete, but we're on our way. The construction is about to start soon, and we're confident that we'll have the plaza and the art piece and all of that in place for next year's ceremony," Woodley said. "Bringing the community together," she said, "is a great way to honor the resilience of the community and the families who are most impacted." Quote, "The beautiful art piece will be on display, so you'll get to see it before it's set in the plaza. We plan to display the art piece in our newly renovated library for this entire year while we wait for the plaza to be built, so it's exciting for all of the community to get to see this beautiful piece of art at the ceremony," Woodley said. One of the things Woodley said she's most excited about living here is the closeness of the community. Quote, "It's very family-oriented. There's just a sense of camaraderie and resilience," Woodley said. Asked what has taken so long for the memorial to be complete, Woodley said the construction, design, and approvals always take longer than you think they will. Quote, "We did have some issues making sure that we had all those approvals in place and getting the bids for the contractor and finishing the design work," Woodley said. They also had to make sure they weren't hitting any utility lines, and it took a while to get those surveys. Quote, "We've gone through all the design pieces. Now we are hopefully in the final stages of identifying a contractor. That work should be done in the next week or two, and then it will be off to the races to get the actual work done," Woodley said. "It will take the entire year to get the plaza completed. In fact, we'll work really hard to make sure that it is completed before next year, but we want to do it right. We want to make sure that it's beautiful and that the community is proud of it and that it is at the highest standard that we can make it for the community. I'm constantly feeling impatient about how long it's taking, but I think it's going to be well worth it," Woodley added. Chief of Staff and Vice President of Communications and Marketing, Tatum Hubbard, said last year they set up seats for 250. Quote, "We're planning for a few more than that this year. The Chuckwagon Gang will be here to serve coffee and those kinds of things," Hubbard said. She added that it is important to those on the committee to reframe such a tragic day and make it into something that is positive. Quote, "We call it the Shine the Light Ceremony. There is an initiative to have random acts of kindness that day. The blood bank will be on our campus that day, so anybody can donate blood," Hubbard said. "There are many ways that anybody can get involved and do something kind on that day," end quote. Some of those who were impacted attended last year's ceremony and were happy to be recognized. Others just wanted to fall in place and not be recognized, Hubbard said. Quote, "We're not trying to dictate how that day feels for anybody. It is different for every person, so while it is a somber day, I think the intent, at least by some, is to try to find something that allows it to be a day of light and not of darkness." Woodley said she thinks people will find what's most comforting to them. Quote, "That's what we hope to provide in this really beautiful ceremony. That's what we hope to provide in this beautiful plaza, in this memorial. It will be a place that the community will enjoy for a long time. I think the ability for us to spearhead this for the community is humbling for us because we want to make sure that we do it right, that people enjoy it, and that it serves that extra purpose that we know it can for our community, Woodley added. Chandra Wigginton, Program Director for the Family Resiliency Center, said although her staff may attend the sunrise service, they are not going to be officially present because they have other things going on that day. The center will have free mental health screenings from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in conjunction with PermiaCare. They don't need an appointment. Quote, people just come on by and have a screening done. Anybody that's finding it difficult to cope on that day, they can come by and speak to us, one of our staff. That doesn't necessarily mean they have to have a screening. If they just want to come out and vent, get some encouragement, things like that, they can do that as well, Wigginton said. The center will be open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. August 30th and 31st. Quote, people can just come by and talk to somebody. Then we are putting together a compilation of videos so people can come and participate. What we want to do is spread encouragement through our community. So if people want to come and record a video and be part of that compilation and just share encouraging words with their neighbors and other community members, they can do that on both of those days, the 30th and the 31st, Wigginton said. The center also is asking the community to display yellow lights, such as porch lights, on August 30th, starting at 7 p.m., through the morning of September 1st. When the Family Resiliency Center opened right after the mass shooting, Wigginton said they received gifts from other communities that had experienced mass shootings. The city of Aurora, Colorado, sent a wreath, which they have displayed, and the city of Santa Fe, Texas, where another shooting occurred, sent them handmade hearts. Quote, we want to spread that hope forward, she said. We have gifts for Allen and the folks in Uvalde, so if people want to come and write a message of encouragement to those communities, they can. We're 4 years past our event, and we have evidence of healing, so we want to encourage others that it's coming. It's possible when you come together as a community for healing to occur after even tragedy like this, end quote. For people who are not local, the center can work with them to submit a video to them online. There will also be a Facebook and Instagram where they can comment if they want to send encouragement to Allen or Uvalde. We'll print those messages for them and make sure they go out with our gifts, Wigginton said. We want to make sure that people have different ways to participate and honor the memories of lost, but also celebrate the lives of those who survived, she added. Wigginton said the center is actually busier now than when it opened. Quote, I think because of the pandemic, a lot of people were trying to cope with COVID and all the changes that occurred, she said. As things have settled down, they realize they're still struggling, and some people may not even realize what they're struggling with until they come and talk to us. But I know that every time another shooting occurs, it can be re-traumatizing to people. That kind of mass violence really doesn't ever leave you. There will always be a reminder of the way things were and the way things are after an event like that. Odessa Police Department Chief Mike Gerke said the shooting is still fresh even after 4 years. Quote, it's an extremely tragic event. I think it's going to be fresh for a very long time, Gerke said. I think everybody in this department feels it, and certainly everyone in the community, and absolutely all the families of the victims. I'm sure that's a scar that will probably never go away. End quote. Kirky said he has every intention of attending the memorial August 31st at the University of Texas Permian Basin. Asked if it was helpful for the community to have this memorial, Gerke said, yes and no. Quote, I think some members of our community appreciate that sort of thing, but I also think there are some members of our community that when you keep going through these things, it just brings up old wounds and peels the scab off the wounds that are starting to heal a little bit, so I think it's a double-edged sword, he added. Since the shooting, training mandates from the state have changed. Quote, we tried to stay ahead and do more than what is required of us, the alert system, the alert training, which is the active shooter response training that is mandated by the state. We give that to our recruits in the academy, so everybody that comes out of the academy already has that training. We're constantly training on it. We see other agencies in this area, the school district, the sheriff's office, constantly training and doing drills. I know Odessa College had a drill not too long ago. The Ector County Hospital District had a drill not too long ago. You see those local law enforcement agencies here that are constantly drilling on this type of thing just to make sure they're as sharp as they can possibly be, Gerke said. One of the biggest takeaways is an update in technology. He said all the entities are working together to create a regional radio system. Quote, we have some license plate readers around town that would help track that vehicle at that point in time, some cameras that we didn't have access to that we have access to now. Those types of things would have helped track the shooter. That was the main issue, was locating this person. Once he was located, within a very short amount of time, that threat was eliminated. It was finding him and locating him, Gerke said. When talking about August 31st, he noted that it always comes back to honoring the victims and the families of those victims. Quote, your heart and your prayers keep going out to them because you understand if anyone has ever lost someone, and I think we all have, but not many of us have lost someone in the violent manner that those folks lost their loved ones. Your heart goes out to them, and you know, regardless, time heals all wounds, but maybe not sometimes, and then those scars remain. I think it's something they're going to have to deal with forever, Gerke said.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Thursday, August 24th. City to earmark oil revenue for parks maintenance. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. The Midland City Council will begin dedicating revenue made from drilling under the City of Midland property to the maintenance of parks across the city. The council decided Tuesday to allocate $2 million originally slated for the Oil and Gas Special Purpose Fund and create a Parks Maintenance Stabilization Fund. The amount will help with maintenance of parks, current and future, that have been built or will be constructed. Parks have received considerable attention from this council, in addition to improvements at Reyes Mashburn Nelms in East Midland. The council is considering a $35-plus million upgrade to Beale Park in southwest Midland. Upgrades taking place across parks in Midland include the installation of turf and other quality-of-place enhancements. Those enhancements increase costs when replacements or maintenance is required. The poster child for the deficits that parks can incur is at the Scarborough Sports Complex, which has seen a balance in an operation fund drop from around $30 million to $13.1 million in less than a decade. The council said Tuesday, dedicating money now and in the future from the Oil and Gas Special Purpose Fund will help take the burden off the general fund and taxpayers. The council pushed $2 million of the $20.1 million that was supposed to be moved from the general fund to the Parks Oil and Gas Special Purpose Fund into this special maintenance account. The expectation is city staff will come back to the council with estimates of future Parks Department maintenance costs to current and future parks to help determine how much to move regularly toward maintenance. Quote, "We are saddling future taxpayers with the maintenance cost of those facilities," Mayor Lori Blong said Tuesday. "We want the facilities, but we need to do that in a prudent way, allocating capital dollars to future maintenance," end quote. The City Council previously passed a resolution that moved oil and gas revenues generated by city-owned park property in the Oil and Gas Special Purpose Fund. City leaders learned Tuesday that account will have around $48.3 million in it at the end of the fiscal year. City leaders also learned Tuesday that there are $12.5 million in Park Oil and Gas Fund projects in the fiscal year 2024 budget, including $6.5 million for two auxiliary fields at the Scarborough Sports Complex, $2.5 million for improvements to the Southeast Senior Center, $2.5 million for the new Senior Center designs, and $1 million for a golf cart barn. City leaders also want to move forward to the Hogan Park upgrades. Why WLA parents take issue with MISD decision? Midland ISD tells YWLA parents that students playing for MHS Legacy to end after this year. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. At last week's Midland ISD board meeting, multiple speakers took issue with the district decision to prevent young Women's Leadership Academy students from being able to participate in varsity athletics with their home campuses, beginning with the 2024-25 school year. Currently, YWLA students can compete at Midland High or Legacy since YWLA doesn't offer varsity athletics. However, the district announced this would be the last year. Parents of YWLA students believe the district committed to the students the opportunity to not only attend the girls-only academy and in-district charter, but have athletic opportunities at Midland ISD's Class 6A comprehensive campuses. According to Ryan Parrish, that was the arrangement. His daughter plays sports, including tennis, at Midland High. Quote, "This isn't what the board agreed to or asked for when the foundations of YWLA were designed over 4 years ago," Parrish told the Reporter-Telegram. "The contract stated that they could play for their district campuses," end quote. He added the community, students, coaches, principals, parents, and teams were not asked for their feedback in a school board meeting or otherwise before the decision to change the contract was unilaterally made. Quote, "Girls that are already playing for their districted schools on all of the various teams, swim, dive, basketball, volleyball, track, soccer, tennis, etc., will be lost in the cracks of this change with no team to play for," Parrish said. "We need to continue to participate with home schools until we have adequate facilities and trained coaches and trainers. Our school can't be compared to other schools with sports programs, coaches, and facilities," end quote. The Young Women's Preparatory Network, based out of Dallas, runs YWLA in Midland. An attempt to reach the network's leadership was unsuccessful. In a joint statement from Midland ISD and Young Women's Leadership Academy, officials stated that the decision brings to light the need for strong athletic programs within YWLA. Quote, "Therefore, the Midland ISD Athletics Department will be working closely with the leadership team at YWLA over the next year to assist in the development and strengthening of their athletics program, the statement said. No particulars were offered by the district or YWLA about what sports would begin in 2024-25, what facilities would be used, or operations of the athletics program itself. A problem, according to Parrish, is that Midland ISD moved YWLA into the former Washington STEM Elementary School. The school lacks facilities on campus to begin the building of an athletics program that would be fitting of a Midland ISD athletic program. During board meetings leading up to the decision to close Washington STEM for YWLA, athletics really was never a great part of the conversation. Quote, "We have zero facilities, not even a high school-sized gymnasium," Parrish wrote. Continuing the quote, "The district is not offering an equal opportunity to these Midland girls. They are taking sports away from girls without any budgeted plan to provide a program at YWLA," end quote. The same agreement is in place for students who make the decision to attend IDEA Travis, another 1882 school. Parrish is among those who believe Midland ISD officials are asking YWLA families to make decisions between the school's heralded academic program and the athletics program at Legacy or Midland High. Quote, "As a top-performing school, YWLA should be fully supported by this district, not put at a disadvantage by board decisions," Parrish wrote. "It makes it harder for YWLA to recruit and keep girls when they cannot offer the same sports opportunities," end quote. Midland ISD reported Wednesday, quote, "The original term of agreement between MISD and Young Women's Preparatory Network for operation of YWLA began on June 1, 2019, and ran through June 30, 2022. The MISD Board of Trustees met and considered a renewal term at the April 19, 2022 regular meeting. At that time, a five-year renewal term was unanimously approved by the board. More recent negotiations regarding additional changes to MISD's performance agreement with YWPN, including revisions to the UIL provision, have been ongoing for several months. These changes will be finalized and ratified by the board at the upcoming September 19, 2023 regular meeting," end quote. The statement from Midland ISD, YWLA, also includes the following, quote, "We genuinely understand the sentiment about the initial promises made when YWLA was started. Decisions of the past were made with the best intentions based on the information available at that time. As districts grow and evolve, adjustments sometimes become necessary. These decisions are never made lightly and always with the greater good of all students in mind," end quote. Business buzz. A passion for animals fuels Turner and Pooch Pet Resort. The business recently won gold in the Reporter-Telegram's Reader's Choice Awards for both Pet Resort and Pet Sitter categories. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. Turner and Pooch Pet Resort has been a favorite pet boarding option in Midland for the past 2 years. This luxury pet daycare sprouted from the Turner family's lifelong passion for dogs and pets of all kinds. Melissa Turner's parents used to breed and show dogs when she was growing up. This sparked a love for animals and pets at an early age. Melissa and her husband Joe showed dogs until 2008 and decided to settle in Midland in 2009. They built their facility, located south of Midland at 201 East County Road 150, in 2017. Quote, We grew up around dogs our entire life, Melissa said. We've always had a passion for dogs, whether showing dogs or just caring for them. They just make your life a lot happier, end quote. Turner and Pooch's detailed pet accommodations creates a secure feeling for pet owners and optimal conditions for their four-legged guests. Quote, all of our suites have all glass panels so the dogs can see out rather than being in an enclosed room where they can't see what's going on, Melissa said. TVs are everywhere, fans, and we dim the lights down for nap time during the day and nighttime. TVs always stay on, so it makes it more homey feeling, end quote. An important accommodation, according to the Turners, is their ability to provide pets with an indoor-outdoor environment. Each Turner and Pooch suite has a doggy door installed so pets can roam outside of their suite. Quote, we have four different play yards, three of them are all artificial turf, and we still do have one real grass yard. Something about real grass that dogs like to roll in rather than the turf, Melissa said. Turner and Pooch has group play times, so pets can interact with one another, and they accommodate individual play time for certain pets who need it. The pet daycare watches some animals for one day, some they board for a month. The Turners' extensive background with pets and animals has allowed them to understand the needs of pets and the emotional connection between pet and owner. Quote, these are not just animals, they're not just dogs, they're people's family members. It doesn't surprise us because that's how we've always thought about our animals that we've owned. They're a part of our family, Melissa said. I get it when somebody's dropping their dog off and they're like almost in tears. It's hard leaving them, end quote. The rest of the staff are family members as well. Quote, it's a family business, Melissa said. It's just been something that we all absolutely loved, taking care of animals. At any given time, you can come in here and there's one of the kids or one of us sitting in a suite with a dog that's either stressed or just needs some extra attention, end quote. Given the commitment of time and energy necessary to operate a resort like Turner and Pooch, a true love for pets is needed, according to Joe. Quote, I couldn't do this if I didn't love animals, he said. Turner and Pooch Pet Resort recently won the gold prize for the Reporter Telegram's Reader's Choice Awards in both the Pet Resort and Pet Sitter categories.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.